I'd like to look at a scripture to start off with in Genesis, the 26th chapter. Appreciate your prayers this morning.
Yes,
Lord, would be with us. Genesis, the 26th chapter. And I'll just start reading at the 17th verse. Said, and Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. I was thinking about this account. Thank you, Micah. Isaac was a man of faith. He sought the will of God in his life, as did his father Abraham. It doesn't say this in the scriptures, but Josephus brings out in his Antiquities that when Abraham went to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, Isaac was a young man in his early 20s. Isaac probably was a lot stronger than his father, or probably could have strong enough to defend himself. But he had a heart to serve God and to live for the Lord. And he said, if this is what the Lord's design is, he said, so be it. And he willingly allowed Abraham to bind him. That was the spirit and heart that Isaac had. He had a love for God. And here we see that he had grown, and Abimelech wanted him to move because he was getting too great. They envied Isaac. He saw the blessing. In fact, Abimelech came to him later, and Isaac said, well, what are you coming to me for after getting rid of me? He said, well, we know the Lord is with you, and he wanted to make a covenant with him. So God had blessed Isaac, and he had a heart. He called upon the name of the Lord. He built an altar to the Lord, but he said, the Lord had made room for us. He made space for us. And I think about how the Lord can do that for us also in our lives. There's another scripture in Psalms, the 31st chapter. The book of Psalms, the 31st chapter. And the I believe it's the 7th and 8th verse that I'm wanting. Psalms 31. He said, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. So here he is inquiring, and I know sometimes we can feel hemmed in when the enemy is encamped against us and we're in the enemy's territory, so to speak. But God wants to give us, if we'll worship Him and seek Him, God wants to give us room. He wants to bring us into a wealthy place. He wants to bless and help. And I think about how it's reciprocated. When we give room for God in our lives, He gives us room as well. He makes room for us, just like He did for the children of Israel. He made a place for them, a room. He made room for them to dwell, a land for them to dwell in. Because their heart was crying out to God. Their heart was seeking the Lord. And He told Moses, I've heard the cry of my people. I hear and I see their affliction. And I've come down to deliver them and to bring them into their own land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And I believe the Lord still has that interest of heart today to set our feet. You know, there's something about, I don't know, I don't really consider myself claustrophobic, but sometimes I feel that way. You get under a house, I've been under houses trying to do things, and you just can't hardly, there's not hardly room to move your elbow and to get a screw gun in a place, and it's just, you're hemmed in, and you're inhibited, and you're being squeezed, it feels like, and I'm so glad when I get out of those places. I don't have panic attacks down there, but it's like, I don't like it. And that's why, one reason why I didn't go into auto mechanics. I kind of enjoyed working on cars. But I don't like it when there's the old trucks. You could climb in and almost sit down inside there while you worked on it. But nowadays, you've got to take three or four different parts off to get to the one. There's just hardly any room. And I believe the Lord wants to give us space. He wants to give us room. He wants us to be able to have it. There's something about, and when I'm in town and I see houses and their roofs are almost to touch and there's about 3 feet of space between, I just shake my head. It shouldn't be that way. They didn't ask me when they plotted out the city 100 years ago, but it shouldn't be that way. People need space. They need room to have. And God wants to give us space and room. Yes. When I was first saved, I lived in... I was going to school at Neosho and I, not Neosho, Miami. Brother Clifford Wilson was my pastor and I'd drive out to visit with him on occasion and I appreciate the time that he took for me. And I remember on one of the first occasions I was there, he had a little closet off of his dining room that he had converted to a study. It was about 3 feet wide In one end, he had a little bitty desk, and he just built it in. It was just a desk, and he had shelves with his book above, and he said, "You want to come in and have prayer?" And I looked at him, and I said, "Where? Where do I fit?" Anyway, he went in first, and there was enough room. He closed the door, and we had prayer. But that experience taught me something valuable in my life that I have done. I've always tried to have a little place where I could study the Scriptures. A little quiet place. We lived at Guthrie. I had one at the parsonage there. I had one. I built one in the back of the garage, in the back of the shop. I had a little window in it, just a small, wasn't very big at all. And Oregon, same thing. In the garage, I built a little room for a little study. You know, it's very important for us to be able to take time to have a place. And I know you can meet the Lord in an easy chair. I realize that. You can sit in an easy chair and pray and meet the Lord and read. But there ought to be a place where we can study the Scriptures. A place of quietness, a place where you can get away to seek the Lord, to call, to make room in your life for God, to give Him room in your life. Now, in the Old Testament, we don't have to turn there, but there was a lady that said she was a great woman. And that means she was probably well-to-do. But Elisha would come to her city, and she perceived it was a man of God. She perceived that he was... So she built him a chamber, and she put a bed in it. She put a little nightstand. She had a candle. And it was just a place for him to go when he was there. And to me, that it took her some expenditures. It took her some time. It took her some effort to build that room, but she was blessed for doing so. God blessed her in her life and gave her a child because he said, "Well, what shall we do for this woman? She's showed us this great kindness." And I'm just thinking about how important it is for us to be able to take expenses, to take efforts, to take pains, to have a private place, to be able to And to take time to call upon the name of the Lord and to seek His face and His help and His blessing. We live in a time of busy, busy, busy. There is so much to do. There's so many people running to and fro. There's so much going on that it is very valuable, I feel like, in our day and time. In our situation now is to be able to take time and to call upon God's name and to be able to seek Him and not allow these things to steal the things that God wants to give to us and wants to help us with. The Lord wants us to be able to, and it And I, like I said before, I know that God can hear us in noisy places. He can hear us. But when I thought about Elijah, you know, when he was running for Jezebel, where was he headed to? He was headed to a place where he had known God, a place where he believed God would meet him. And I believe it's very vital for us also to have that place of, and I know it's more than just a room. But it's a place of regularity, a place of where we take the time and invest our time and energies into being able to seek and call upon the Lord's name. And the Lord hears that. And I believe fasting is important also in that, to be able to fast and set aside some of the luxuries, some of the niceties, some of the, to be able to seek God and to call upon His name and upon His help. I believe the Lord will help us and will meet with us. Another scripture I wanted to get is Proverbs, the 18th chapter. Proverbs 18. And 16 it says, I'll read verse 15 with it. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. You know, where do we get our knowledge? Many times it comes down on our knees. It comes through reading and searching the Scriptures. He says, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. A man's gift maketh room for him, and bringeth him before great men. A man's gift will make room for him. You know, when people begin to recognize the talents and the things that God has given to a person, it just, there's a willingness, an open door. And the Lord does that. He makes room for the gifts that God has given to us. Another scripture in Luke, the 8th chapter. Luke, the 8th chapter and the 9th verse. It says, and his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. I don't feel like I know the depths of everything that Jesus is trying to say here, because the Lord wants people to understand. He wants people to know His will. He wants people to be able to perceive what He is talking about, but He has set it up in a way to where He set it up in a way to it, that it's revealed to the honest heart. It's not revealed to the masses of humanity. The masses of humanity can read the Scriptures, but unless they've given their heart to God and served God, it's like a closed book. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't have the depth. It doesn't have the purpose and the meaning that the Word of God contains, because the heart is not in the right place. But when the heart is in the right place, then the Lord is able to begin to reveal the mystery. And He spoke in parables. Jesus brought parables. And it said, the common people heard Him, they received. But the rich, they went empty away. They were rich within themselves. But those that were poor in spirit, they got something from what Jesus was teaching. And it drew. So the disciples are further in asking about this parable. He said, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now my margin on verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. My margin has an emotional hear. An emotional hear. It's like someone, they get real excited about what they hear, but it's like they don't really invest themselves into it. They don't invest their time. They're not investing. There's not really room in their life for deepness, for depth. And I believe this is one thing that hinders spirituality in our day and time, because people are not taking, they're not setting aside room. They're not making room for God. They're not setting aside time. You know, they just expect it to be like a drive-by window. You just put in your order and you have it 5 minutes later. You know, seeking the Lord takes time. It takes time for God to be able to speak to us and begin to show us things and reveal things to us. We have to invest our time, our energy, our means. We've got to invest ourselves into it. And when we are investing in it, we're no longer an emotional hearer. It seems like sometimes people today in Christianity is like, well, if it feels good at the time, or if it's, but we've got to invest time in seeking God and calling upon Him and making room, giving Him room to speak to us. And the same thing in verse 14, that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked. There wasn't enough room. You know, plants and things that come up, they've got to have room to be able to grow. And I believe as the children of God, we're the same way. We've got to take time. There's no shortcuts to being able to find the Lord and seeking Him. We've got to invest in it. Invest ourselves, invest our efforts, invest our attention. There are a lot of distractions a lot of things to distract our minds, our attention. Lord, help us today to be able to make room for God and give Him room in our lives to work. And you know, it's not one-sided. When we give Him ample space and we give Him ample room, just like Isaac, the Lord made room for Isaac. The Lord gave room for Isaac to dwell. And I believe the Lord will do the same thing for us. The Lord will help us when we give Him the room. And that involves our efforts. It involves our time. It involves our focus, our attention. It involves us investing ourselves into it. But there's a rich blessing and a rich benefit that comes when we give ourselves to the Lord in that way. It's very vital for us, I believe, in our time to be able to hear what the Spirit is wanting. I believe the Spirit is wanting to show us and to speak to us. I believe the Spirit of God, and He allows different things to help us to recognize what He's trying to reveal to us. But we need to set aside time. And I believe the Lord will bless us. Appreciate your attention this morning.